this broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Brother Gayo speaking to you, and I'm glad you're tuned in with us this morning. And we praise the Lord for the Bible school that's done past now, and that he's blessed our hearts, and we looking forward to this service, that he will bless us in this hour and give us words of utterance. Our Father, we do come thanking thee that thou hast brought us again to another hour. Thank thee for past deliverances. And we can say with the Apostle Paul, thou hast delivered, thou doth deliver, and we are confident that thou art going to deliver. And thou hast proved thyself faithful. And Father, we thank you that you do not put us to shame. But ever since thou hast called us in this pulpit here, there was no need for words. But as the Holy Spirit gave us utterance, gave us boldness to declare thy word without compromise, without fear or contradiction of men. And our Father, this morning we stand once again in need. We thank thee for the throne of grace. It's a throne of mercy. And we thank thee for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all of our sins. And we ask thee to lead us and guide us. And again, bless those that are sick, wherever they are, that thou wilt be with them, heal them according as thou wilt for thy glory, and bless the message this morning and this work as thou hast put us in charge. And may Heavenly Father, we be true to that charge thou hast given us. Keep us in this hour, and we'll give thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 329 and sing The Solid Rock. Forgot to mention this, like our late pastor used to mention, about our need for the storehouse. And if you have any loose change in your pocket, just put it in the plate as they pass it around. I should have told at the beginning. But that's the way we help to buy things for the storehouse. What extra change you might have in your pocket. And you'd be surprised how that amounts up, and how we're able to get this and get that for the storehouse. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to get it. So let's keep that in mind, and let's continue that practice. I believe it's a good practice. I know the missions. They send in little change like that in their envelopes for the storehouse. So we have a separate plate that they usually put it in. And if you have any loose change, just put it in that plate, and it'll go to the glory of the Lord. That storehouse over there where we can purchase things for the needy. All right, now the second verse. Come on and sing it, everybody.
When darkness is to the lightest grace, thy rest on me is unfading grace. In every bright starry gate, my angels
sinking sand.
right, that's true. All other ground is sinking sand. All right, let's sing this next song now. At Calvary, 172. The first and last verses. That chorus again. Come on. Let's everybody stand. Come on. Take a stretch. And let's sing that chorus. All right. I know this week here, since I've been in the office and seeing this work, I never realized that there was so much connected with it. But like I said, I'm glad the Lord gave us helpers in the work. I had my first experience this week of getting calls from awakened sinners, from others, and my heart has been burdened. The Lord has burdened my heart. The responsibility of being true to the souls of sinners. But the Lord has been gracious in dealing with them. Like I had someone this morning talking with him. He says, I'm an awakened sinner. I want to know Christ. I praise the Lord. It's the Lord's work to awaken a sinner. It's the Lord's work to save a sinner. All we do is bring God's message that He lays upon our hearts, and the Holy Spirit makes it effectual. Let us turn again to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and we'll continue our message that we left off last Sunday with. And be able to close it out this morning. the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. In that first verse, let's begin with the first again. The elders who are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight of it, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In like manner, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, the place of exaltation is humbleness, is humility. Clothed with humility. And then he goes on in that seventh verse, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That scripture got a hold of my heart last night, lying upon my bed, the night hours, thinking about the cares, the problems, the messages, those things that have to be taken care of in this work, the opposition, those who are trying to close down this work, those who have strife in their heart, those who are trying to stir up trouble. And that scripture came to me, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And I was able last night just to cast them all upon him. Just to roll them upon him. He's my sin bearer, but he's my burden bearer. There's many things I can't carry. When a sinner pours out their heart unto me and wants to explain their conditions and all they're going through, many things I cannot tell them except to look to the Lord, look to the Lord. But I'm able by the grace of God to cast, to roll these things upon my Lord and tell him about them. I can't bear them. Some of them, yes. But then what's the reason? Now, why is it that you and I, as God's child, have to learn to cast our cares upon the Lord? Now, why is it? These next verses tells us about it. Look at that eighth verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren and that are in the world, knowing that these afflictions have been, our late pastor has been afflicted by them through the years. It has been accomplished by them in the world, and so has all believers have been afflicted by Satan. But look at that 10th verse. Out of all of our afflictions, but the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. That's the end of all that. That's the end of that. To make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and settle you. Now, Peter tells us that he's like a roaring lion going about. Intimidating those that he will. Now, let's see what the devil is disguised at. Let's look at the devil and see where he's mentioned in some ways in God's word. Now, just to review what we went through last Sunday, and we'll continue it on from there. Verse 10 tells us, God who called you, and it gives us the background. Where did it begin? All right, Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. And then, as if to tell us here, after you begin following the Lord, you came to know him in salvation, now be watchful. Now, I'm going to repeat some of the things, but I got more to say. Just bear with us. And then we find out that what can happen to a believer if he's not careful, if he's not watchful, he can go to sleep. And I think I kind of pointed out last Sunday that slothfulness is nowhere intended in God's word. Sleepiness. We have to always be on the alert to be watchful as God's child, as well as the awakened sinner. Because Satan is a roaring lion. He's a roaring lion in this respect. Now the warning is, your adversary, he never sleeps, the devil. He's like a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He walks among the congregation here. He walks among our office workers. He walks among the missions. He's trying to do the best he can to intimidate, to ruin God's work, to try to destroy it, to try to set up a system. And we're going to find out something. To try to get his knocks, you might say, in a work like this, because it's God's work. He is his business to stir up trouble where he can. And that's the reason why, if you claim to know the Lord, and I claim to know the Lord, that we are to be sober, we are to be watchful, because our adversary, the devil, he's going around seeing whom he may imitate to devour. That's right. And you and I got to be careful. Our Sunday school lesson just before this hour here, caution awakened sinners and others not to listen to those who have not this doctrine. Now let's go on. Yes, the old devil. The old devil, he's my enemy. Like someone said this week, says, you don't have any enemies, do you? I said, yes, I've got the devil. He's my enemy. I hate him. And he hates me. All right. Now the purpose of all that is that the God of all grace will make you perfect. And sometime, like we spoke about last week, The Lord will turn Satan on you loose fiercely until you think all of hell is broken out against you. And Satan's the only one that's taken up with you and nobody else. And it does seem that way sometimes. It does. And we gave an illustration over in Job. But that strengthened Job's faith, his hope in Jehovah God. And then you find the more familiar guys, as the devil is spoken of in the scriptures, is a serpent, as he was in the Garden of Eden, an angel of light, and a roaring lion. And you saw as the serpent in the Garden of Eden, the devil is how he beguiled Adam and Eve's senses. Their judgment as to God's command was perverted. He enchanted their imaginations. He charmed and paralyzed their senses. And we went along about talking about how we are fascinated by many things, bewitched, paralyzed by the influence of some illicit and unclean spell. And then the love of money becomes a fascination. I believe we left off along that line last week. The love of money becomes a fascination to where people, that's their only intent, is to make money. Now, money's all right. You make it honestly. But money can become an idol too. And you can become paralyzed just by making money and just taken up with making money. It fascinates you. It holds a man under a wizard's spell. And then also talking about gambling. Gambling is a spiritual bondage. And oh, how I praise the Lord, He delivered me from that. Because at one time, it held me under bondage. But for the grace of God, it destroys an individual. Now, the devil comes as an angel of light. All right, let's go into this now. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. One of the ways Satan comes to you is as an angel of light. And we've had many who have come here as an angel of light. He will come as an evangelist. And how many of us have been fooled and brought under the spell of an unsaved evangelist speaking from this pulpit here through the years? They were not quick to be detected. But in time, the Lord unfolded these things to us. I know the pastor would at times call me and ask me about such and such. And we would doubt the intent of those different men that came here. We've had them. I can name them. As an evangelist. All right. Then he plays the role of one whose ministry is to deepen our conception of the love and the graciousness of God. They'll speak about a deeper life. Now, you just got to go through a deeper life. You just have to pray a little bit more. You just got to strive a little bit more. You've got to work just a little bit more. You just got to give a little bit more. And Brother Macbeth was telling me about one who was in his pulpit. I don't know the reason why the Lord put me on my back for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and would not let me attend a mission down in Picayune, Mississippi. When this one who professed to know the Lord went down there, but for the grace of God, he would have destroyed that work there. And how he would lead them to a deeper life. He was wanting to lead them to a deeper life. More prayers. More prayers. More prayers. Until they liked to kill them. And he told me, Brother Mac told me, he says, I think if this thing would have gone on for another week, we all would have been dead here. 1 and 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, praying, praying, praying for a deeper life, for a greater experience, for this and that. Now that's the way he'll come to you, as an angel of light. Here's a man of God, intellect. He knows the scriptures. He's well studied in the scriptures. He can quote scriptures. He can tell all kind of things and experiences and dreams and everything else. That individual can kill you. But for the grace of God, I guess every one of you and I would have been dead. And that's so. So that's the way he'll come. And that same thing is going on. He hasn't stopped yet. So easily to be removed from the simplicity that there is in Christ. So easily removed from blood redemption. So easily removed from the righteousness that comes to you by faith in Christ. Running after another doctrine. Running after a deeper life. A deeper experience. And a more fascinating experience. Something that will bewitch you. That will put you in a spell. And that you got to talk about. Experience. Listen. I don't have a thing to talk about this morning but Christ. And that's all. Christ, my righteousness. Christ, my salvation. Christ, my hope. My foundation I rest this morning. As an angel of light, his intent is on easing, somewhat relaxing its severities of denying ourselves or robbing us of our daily devotion, of our prayer life. And that's another aspect of it. The devil, as an angel of light, would take away the cross for a life of ease. For a life of ease. Oh, I wish they would let up down there. I wish they would let up. If you just wouldn't preach repentance, if you just wouldn't hammer on blood righteousness, blood redemption, and kind of ease up a little bit, give us a little ease, give our young people something that they can keep them in a church and grow up with, the way that they won't want to turn away. Relax our hold. He's an angel of life, of light. He would take away the cross for a life of ease. Now you see how many ways the devil can come to you as an angel of light. Now here's another one. Less struggles. Less dependence of God. Why, God never saved me like that. All I did was, I just joined the church and I was baptized. Or I went down the aisle and gave the preacher my hand. He said I was saved. And that was all there was to it. Just relax. Ease the strain of the religious life. Just ease it up. Now look, what else is said here? We will make excuses for our sins. A little overt sins, you know, like some preacher down at the parsonage. Oh, those are little overt sins. The Lord doesn't recognize those things. He passes them over. Little sins. And just overlook our small neglects. We begin to make excuses for them. We turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's exactly what they're doing today. But my prayer is like that of the Shulamite in the Songs of Solomon 2:15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Take those little sins. They're there. It's those little sins that hurt us. It's those little things in our lives that hurt us, that vexes my soul. It's not the gross sins, the great outward sins. It's those little things. And so the believer is careful of the little things that comes in their heart and life. Now the devil, he'll come to you as a roaring lion. He may not succeed as a serpent. And he'll discard his robe as an angel of light. You know, we've had him come here. Boy, we looked at him. Then we were taken up with him. We delighted in him. And we followed them. But the first thing you know, we found out that they were trying to hurt this work, harm this work, destroy it. And then they moved out. They couldn't do anything. They moved out with the excuse. There's no cooperation over there. I can't cooperate with the pastor. But they seem so appealing when they come in. Boy, there's a preacher of the Lord. Boy, he's a professor. He's a doctor. He's the head of a college. And boy, he's something, man. I want to hear him. And boy, he went on here for weeks and weeks and weeks, not realizing that he was trying to destroy what we had here. Take over this work. They must think the Lord is asleep. They must think that God's not on the throne. And that his eyes go to and fro upon the earth. And God's servants are the apple of his eye. And his people are the people of his choice, the sheep of his pasture. So what does he does? He discards his robe as an angel, as a serpent, as an angel of light, and now, as a roaring lion, he appears as a brutal force. So that's what's happening, huh? A brutal force. They couldn't take it over by getting new people to follow them and getting the pastor to listen to them and get what they wanted here. So they go outside and the force becomes a brutal force. The devil working in them, all right, as a brutal force. And what are they? They become antagonists, are an opponent, a force of violence. And then they set in relentless persecution. And that is what exactly has made this church what it is today. Persecution. For in the world you shall have persecution. The church of God, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, can have nothing else but persecution in this world. And that's what makes your church. Would you and I be established this morning in the truth if it wasn't for persecution? in Christ? Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree. And my feet, seemingly, is going deeper and deeper, deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that foundation. And I praise the Lord this morning. He says, be thankful in all things. I praise the Lord for persecutions. And if you're a child of God this morning and you are not beset with persecution from Satan, the world, then you had better examine yourself and see if you are in the faith. In the faith. Paul says, I'm troubled on all sides. All sides. When Peter wrote this letter, the line was on the move then. The Christians were being hunted unto death. The reason was to stamp out their faith and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly the same situation we find ourselves in today here, is to stop our testimony, to keep it from going out over the air. And that would have been the thing that the devil would have been glad to have happened after our pastor passed away. Close down all the broadcast. That would have been joy bells in his ears to keep the truth from going forth. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ because Christ defeated him at the cross. I praise the Lord for that. That's why I know he's a defeated foe. And he cannot triumph over the church. He cannot. And we're not to listen to him. Be sober. Be watchful. I tell you what all that means to my heart when it says be sober. Be watchful. There's no time for merriment in this heart of mine. I guess I'm not like it used to be. But it's time for watchfulness, for being sober, and being aware of my adversary, the devil. And let me tell you, Satan is out to destroy this work. And you know where he's going to destroy it? Inside. And if you cooperate with him, you can look for anything to happen. How can we meet the devil in all his characteristics and triumphs? All right. Looking at 8th verse of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Be sober. Be sober. The apostle is referring here to men and women who are followers of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. And that 5th chapter. Let's begin with that first verse. Look what it says. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know how perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of light, and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober, or be sober-minded. For they that sleep in the night, they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now be watchful. Keep your head clear. Keep your head clear. Do not overindulge in pleasures of this life. And that's the thing that's taken over this world today, is the pleasures, worldly, mad pleasures of this life. You take all this Mardi Gras we got around us today, all this carnival, and everything, it's pleasure mad. It's a drunken festival. And you cannot go out there and enjoy things like that as a believer and put yourself into it and be sober and be watchful, because the attractions of it, the charm of it, the world offers it to you. But we are not of the world. The believer is in the world, but not of the world. It's a drunken festival, just like our Christmas holidays and other events along that line. Babylon coming back to life again, all around us. Babylon. Babylon that spilled the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of the Christians. Babylon. Be watchful. All right. Be sober. Keep your head clear. He that liveth in pleasure is dead. That's the scriptures. He that liveth in pleasures is dead. Be watchful. Awake unto righteousness. Now that's what the scripture speaks to you about. Awake unto righteousness. Every exercise of watchfulness ensures a stronger sight. Mark 14:38 tells us, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You cannot depend upon the flesh. I'll stand it all right. I'll make it through okay. A little pleasures won't hurt. Little things won't hurt like this. I'll make it through all right. I'm strong enough to do it. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing to sustain you and keep you. And trust yourself unto him. Every exercise of watchfulness ensures a stronger sight. Stronger sight. Where are you heading? Where are you going? Where are you traveling? Are you traveling down a dark road? You cannot see light? Or are you traveling on a lighted road that the Lord Jesus Christ has lighted up for us? There's light along the way. The Word of God's a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Where are you heading? Are you taking up with the things of the world? Are you indulging and finding all your delight in reading the things of this world? All right, be watchful. Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast, which means firm and solid. To be steadfast in the faith is to be sure of God, that you're sure you know Him, that you have received Christ by faith, that you know Him by faith, that we have communion with Him in praise and prayer and supplication and intercession. We come to know the peace of God, which passeth understanding, and it shall keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. For He is our peace, who's made peace for us. And through His death, through the cross. Now look at that 10th verse. The God of all grace, for every changing need. Every changing need, the God of all grace. Praise the Lord. Every changing need, doesn't matter what it is, the God of all grace has all grace sufficient to give. He giveth more grace. My water, my bread, my strength, my wisdom, my righteousness, my cleansing, my redemption. The God of all grace. All grace. He's my sunshine. He's like the refreshing dew. He's like the fallen, softening rain. The dew is always fresh upon His brow. Don't you like to go outside sometime? You'll see a softening rain. I know I like to look at it. Just softening. It's refreshing. Refreshing. The God of all grace. My sunshine. The God of all grace, a tower. He's my high tower. He scans the heavens. I know when I used to be in the CCC camps years ago, back in 38 and 39, I belonged to a fire camp. And every time a fire got started, they would call us. And out in the woods, in the forest of Kasachi National Forest, there were several high towers. They would scan the forest to see where there's smoke, where there's a brush fire. And when they saw smoke rising, they would call the fire camps. And we'd go out there, put it out, put it down before it got out of control. My Lord is a high tower. When He sees trouble brewing, the fire's raging, He quiets them, the God of all grace. He's my high tower. It's my child. It's all right. I'm your sufficiency. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Stills the soul, stills the heart, casting all my cares upon Him. He cares for me. He cares for you, Ms. Barger. He cares for you. He's my refuge. He's my shield. That's what Christ is to me. He tells me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In him, I find an overflowing fountain of mercy, of goodness, and compassion. That's my Lord I'm telling you about this morning. You want him? Do you know him? Yes, he is. He's a fountain of mercy. Mercy. He bestowed mercy upon me one day. Mercy. He is my mercy. He is goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he's full of compassion. Oh, sinner, what a compassionate Lord he is. And then he goes on to tell us, he says, my God shall make all grace abound towards you. All of that shall abound towards you. Leaping over, abounding, leaping over, running ahead of you. All right, and in closing, what is the ultimate glory of it all? The God of all grace shall himself, just like when he comes back, he's going to come back himself. Just like when he saved you himself. He's kept you by himself. And now he says, he shall perfect you. He shall establish you. He shall strengthen you upon the one foundation, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now that's what the grace of God can do. And that's what he's done for me. I'm on the one foundation this morning, Christ. The solid rock. The solid rock. The God of all grace has made it so. And I want you to know that. I guess we're off the air now. But we praise the Lord that you've been with us this morning. May God bless you in Radio Land. I don't believe I could say any more than I've said. But exalt my Lord to you, that you might know him, come to him, want him, long after him. Come to know the God of all grace. He'll be your sunshine. He'll be your strength, your high tower, your refuge, the one that you can hide in and confide in and realize all that you wanted was Christ. Turn to him today. Don't let the message roll off your back like water off a duck's back. You don't know whether you'll hear another message from God's word. But may the God of all grace be your all sufficiency this day and forevermore. Let's stand. Our Father, this morning, we thank you this morning for thy grace. We thank thee for thy message, Lord Jesus.
We trust this people in thy hands. And out in Radio Land, that our Father, the Holy Spirit, will bring many sons and daughters unto the kingdom. For it is in thy name I ask it, and for thy sake, amen.